Ladies and gentlemen, prepare yourselves for a shock.
Ready to be challenged? Maybe a little offended, but definitely shocked. This is Shock Therapy Live. Your therapy session with Nate Heitzig. We're not looking for stump the pastor questions, so put down your Devos and open your diaries. Really, this isn't systematic theology.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Not at all.
This is Shock Therapy Live. Now, here's Devo.
That's me. Welcome to Shock Therapy Live. Steve-O, Pastor Mitch.
Wait a second. That can get
confusing.
That'd
be a totally different show.
I go through this a lot whenever... My husband's name is Kelly.
Yep.
And so whenever they hear Pastor Kelly, they're like, whoa, 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 whoa. No, guys.
No, it's okay. It's a dude.
He's a he. And Pastor Mitch. Nope, not a thing. But you remember how I said goodbye?
Yeah. Remember that?
Yeah.
Hello.
Hi.
You say goodbye.
I say hello.
Hello. I don't know why you say goodbye.
I say hello.
Welcome to Shock Therapy Live. Pastor Nate Heitzig will be joining us momentarily. It's one of those days. July 3rd. If you're listening on Wednesday.
If you're listening on Sunday.
It's July 7th.
4th, 5th, 6th, 7th. Yeah, you're right. 7th.
Boom.
Good job.
Good math there. However, he's on his way in. It's a big, long day for us.
It is.
A huge celebration. There's going to be fireworks. There's going to be, Christafari. There's also going to be Pastor Skip tonight rocking a message. There's some good stuff happening this evening. So getting prepared for that, and a lot of stuff goes into that. So you can check out details on that and every event, mystaticradio.com. Another great event I've been thinking about. Aaron Gillespie.
July 28th.
Live at the Lobo, part of our Live at the Lobo series. Aaron Gillespie going to be throwing down an amazing show. You don't want to miss that for sure.
Definitely don't.
It's going to be good. What?
I have to miss it.
You will be missing it.
I will be in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico.
So here's what I want. I want that place to be sold out. Once sold out, everybody there, I want it to be jam-packed, and so that everybody who goes can then go, oh, Mitch!
That concert was amazing.
You missed such a fantastic time!
And I'll be like, oh yeah, that's okay. I was spreading the word of Jesus around Mexico.
That's pretty cool.
Jesus' name.
You know, let's talk about this. I have to be honest. I have been kind of pseudo, maybe just a touch, little mocking, because when you guys go on mission trips, let's be real. They're like vacationaries.
Oh, to are they?
Puerto Vallarta, Mexico. It's like, oh, we couldn't get Cancun.
Right.
So going to Puerto Vallarta.
Right.
And then I started thinking about it and being honest, being real. It's Shock Therapy Live. So let's be real for a minute. I was talking with some friends yesterday about it and how you're going to be gone for a few weeks. People were asking, you know, hey, what do you guys need prayer? Where I was at a leadership meeting.
Okay.
And, we were lifting you guys up.
Aww.
And talking seriously about it, you know, when I mentioned Puerto Vallarta and I started kind of cracking jokes, I thought about my senior trip that I did not go on was to Cancun, Mexico. I thought about all those places. Puerto Vallarta,
yeah.
Fantastic vacation spot.
Oh, totally.
Cancun.
Not cheap.
A really good friend of mine, Jake, that's actually where they went there for their honeymoon. It's like, it's definitely,
Cancun?
No, Puerto Vallarta.
Oh, yeah.
It's definitely a vacation spot. So, of course, I jokingly say, oh, Mitch is going on a mission trip. But then I start thinking about the fact that the people that are going to those vacation spots are those that chances are need to hear that hope in Jesus Christ, because what are they living for currently?
Right.
Now,
right.
I'm not saying everybody, you know, but a big reason why you guys chose Puerto Vallarta is not because it's a destination hotspot, but because there is a need.
Yeah.
There's a need everywhere.
There's actually an established church down there already.
Yeah.
We're going to go join them, do a few things with them, but just partner with them in the sense that we're going to go out, do ministry, that's what we call it, ministry to them, to other people, just we're just talking to them.
Yeah.
But I'm really excited for that. And Puerto Vallarta apparently is pretty deceiving. I've never been there. So people see it as a vacation hotspot.
Right.
And they go there and they spend thousands of dollars and stay at nice resorts. We're not staying at those resorts because
right.
we don't have thousands of dollars.
Exactly.
We're staying at a house. Thankfully, we got a house. We were going to be staying at the mission where all the kids are, not super sanitary, but we're going to be hanging out with them. But apparently it's like you get there and you see a really, really nice house, and then you go like half a mile and it's like slum, poverty.
Right.
And
right.
Apparently the hardest part for Michelle Schroff from the Aspen Project, she comes in and hangs out with us every other Thursday. She said the hardest part for her to get used to was naked children just playing in the road and being dangerous.
Right.
And I mean, people don't drive. There aren't like stop signs. Well, there are stop signs, but not a lot. Not really great traffic signals everywhere.
Yeah.
So.
And while you're
dangerous.
Out there, we're going to get to talk with you because you're going to be gone for a few weeks. Matt Lott from Waverly/House of Heroes going to be joining me in studio for those weeks. So I will have a roommate.
Yeah.
So you can pray for that.
He can stay at my house.
Oh, yeah.
He can stay at my house.
There you go.
Take care of my animals.
That's actually not a bad idea. No, he's going to be staying with me and rocking the morning show that way. But we're going to make sure we keep up with you and have you call in so that we know what's going on out there. Because let's be honest, you're going out there for a few weeks and it's Mexico.
It's Mexico.
It's definitely
regardless,
scarier
it's still
than,
Mexico.
Yeah, exactly. So you're going to be out there. And what's one of the big things you are wanting God to do while you're out there?
Change my heart. Honestly, seriously.
Okay.
Let's face it.
Yeah.
I'm really excited for this mission trip. The entire time I'm praying and in the Word and with my team, I am stoked to be out there.
Yeah.
But I also love my job. I love my house. I love my bed.
Right.
I love my friends, and I don't want to leave for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But I'm really, like, I know that I'm supposed to be out there. So.
Yeah.
We've been kind of talking with the team. Our focus is to like really serve each other in this mission trip rather than make sure that we're good and that we're comfortable. But let's face it, it's a 2 week mission trip. Teams come in all the time from all over the place to different churches all over and help them out. So 2 weeks isn't a lot of time. We're going to do a lot of work while we're out there, but we know that God's going to work in our hearts more
right.
than.
Are you still raising funds? I know that
yes.
you guys have had, you know, Fridays at the Porch at Solomon's Porch on Calvary's campus, you know, at the coffee shop here.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. You're still raising funds?
Yes. For some of the students, they just have to finish up a few $100 left.
And people can sponsor and
yes.
help and support that way?
All
Where can
do,
people find information?
You can call 344-0880 and
okay.
you can give a donation or find out how you can help out.
This is weird. I'm interviewing
number.
You. Is it
I
weird?
I know. It's weird.
I'm excited for the trip, though. I'm excited for what God's going to be doing with you guys out there. I'm even more excited that you're going to be gone. I'm going to have a different co-host. I'm just kidding. I can't be serious with you for that long.
I know. It's a little weird.
But if people would like more information, globaladventures.org? Here's the deal. CalvaryABQ.org. You can
yes.
go there. And you can find out all the information about Global Adventures. I think it's .com actually. Globaladventures.com. Yeah.
Is
find
it?
Out information, about not just your mission trip, but
no
it's not.
That is not
That's
it.
Hilarious. That's actually something else with the crazy gorillas
Calvary.
And dolphins. Yeah. CalvaryABQ.org. You can find out information on Global Adventures. It's one of the ministries here. Or globaladventures.org.
It is .org.
Yeah. But Mish, we're going to miss you, bro.
I'm excited to be there, but I'll hang out.
Yeah, we'll be talking with you. And of course, we still have a whole other week. We're acting like you're leaving now and you're going to be gone. But we still have a whole other week to get through before you're finally gone.
I know. So stupid.
You know, Matt Lott from House of Heroes is going to be joining us. So it's going to be a lot of fun on both fronts.
Mm-hmm.
Everything you're doing, everything that's going on here. Good times. We got to take a quick break. Our first one of Shock Therapy Live. If you would like to get some questions in, Pastor Nate Heitzig on his way right now. You can get them in by emailing us, studio@mystaticradio.com. That's studio@mystaticradio.com. Phone lines are open. Yeah.
Do it.
338-3700, the phone number. Pastor Nate, outside that door. We'll take a quick break. Coming back with Shock Therapy Live and Pastor Nate Heitzig, Static Radio.
Freedom, a celebration of life in Christ. July 3rd, we celebrate with Christ the Pharaoh at Calvary Albuquerque. Come out for the food, starting at 6. A message from Pastor Skip and fireworks to cap off the night. This is your invitation for Freedom Celebration and the reggae worship of Christ the Pharaoh. It all starts at 6 p.m. July 3rd at Calvary Albuquerque, 4001 Osuna. Details, calvaryabq.org.
Calvary Knob Hill and the Lobo Theater invites you to Live at the Lobo with Aaron Gillespie.
When we sing out, you are holy, you are holy.
Aaron Gillespie, Sunday, July 28th at 7 p.m. at Calvary Knob Hill in the Lobo Theater. Advance tickets are only $10. You can get them online at calvaryabq.org or at Parchments on the Calvary campus. Sunday, July 28th at Calvary Knob Hill in the Lobo Theater. Live at the Lobo with Aaron Gillespie.
As we celebrate our independence this month, it's essential to return to our roots and remember how America came to be. That's why we've created an incredible resource package for you and your whole family. It includes Monumental, a DVD starring Kirk Cameron.
I love this country. We are the most free and secure, prosperous, and healthy nation in the world. At least we have been for hundreds of years. But I get this sinking feeling that it's not going to stay that way if we stay on the course we're on.
As you watch, you'll join Kirk Cameron as he travels to Europe and across the U.S. in search of America's true national treasures. This package also includes the book, When a Nation Forgets God, by Erwin Lutzer. Be encouraged in the mandate given every believer to be a world changer by living righteous and holy lives. July's Freedom Package is available from The Connection today for only $25. Get yours from skipheitzig.com or when you call 1-800-922-1888. That's 1-800-922-1888.
Shock Therapy Live. We thought we knew what we were getting into. Now we're just trying to get through the show without getting fined. You're still listening? Good. Because Steve-O and Nate haven't bailed yet either. Now, more Shock Therapy Live.
Yes!
Oh, man.
Welcome!
Yes.
Steve-O, Pastor Nate Heitzig joining you.
It was like a welcome for me.
That is a welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Glad to have
it's
you.
It's good to be here.
It feels like it's been years, even though, you know, it's
like
only been
a week.
Yeah, a week. You were off.
I was last week I was gone.
California. Rocking it.
Suffering.
Suffering for the Lord. Suffering on the beach. You were so tan, bro. You got a tan.
I know.
Did you wear clothes while you were out there?
I wore like shorts, board shorts, mostly.
Sweet! Dude, let's get right to it.
Yeah.
We've got a bunch of questions. We've got somebody on line one. We'll take that first. Shock Therapy Live, hello.
Hey, how are you doing, Dave?
Good. How are you?
How are you doing?
Good. Hey, so I got a question. My sister is an active lesbian, and with the way stuff's going,
right,
she's planning on getting married, and she wants me to be a part of her wedding. So it's kind of, she knows that I think it's totally wrong, but it's kind of like it's my sister, so I'm not going to do it, but I just want like a nice, godly way of putting, you know, saying no, I'm not going to do it without sounding hateful.
No.
Man, that's hard.
Yeah, it's, I'm 50-50 because part of me wants to be the jerk and say, it's not hard. Because I've had friends who are homosexual who have wanted to get married, and I've gotten the invitation not to be in their wedding, just to attend the wedding, and I haven't.
Yeah.
Because I've had to say, man, guys, literally, I'm so sorry, but I can't. Me being a part of your celebration in turn, to me would be condoning, and I can't condone what God has called wrong, and so I'm sorry. And I mean, but this is your sister, so I understand the idea of it being very difficult and wanting to be delicate about it.
Yeah, how do you see that?
Okay, let's talk about this for a minute. Your relationship with your sister, where is it at right now? I mean, you.
That's awesome.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I mean, no, she's actually my roommate.
Okay.
That makes it even harder. So,
right.
I'm really, really close to my sister. And her partner, I'm really close to, too. And it's just like, you know, the whole you love the sinner, not the sin. So I've really, you know, taken that to heart and get close with them. But at the same time, it's like they know what I stand for. They know what I believe. So.
Yeah. Then, you know, I'd say that if they know what you stand for, but they also know that you haven't, like, just ostracized them completely, that you still love them as people, I just let them know, say, hey, you know, you know my stance on this. I can't go to the wedding and support what you're doing because I think it's wrong. You know that I love you. You know that if you ever need someone to talk to, I'm there, but I can't go and turn a blind eye to the fact that what you're doing is sin, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's such a, you know, thinking about it and it, making it personal for me, a different situation, but the same. My brother, whom I love dearly, who I'm very, very close to, is a former alcoholic. And he's had, you know, multiple DUIs in his past. And this last year, he had asked me if I could watch his kids for his birthday, because he was going to go out and, you know, hey, I'm not gonna get housed, I'm not gonna do anything stupid, but it's his birthday, and, you know, he was working late, and so he needed me to watch his kids. And part of me was like, man, I can't do that because I don't know. I know my brother's history, but it was at a place where I believed that it was different, and so I wanted to help him, and I decided to go. And so I watched his kids, and unfortunately, it turned into a situation where it started out correctly, where he was just hanging out, and it turned into a really gnarly situation where right now, my brother is in jail, and will be in jail for some time because... rather than come home after work, his older brother, who loves him dearly, watched his kids for him. And I'm not saying because I quote-unquote condoned it. It's, but, dude, if I'm being really, like, just plain and open with you right now, it's something that I struggle with right now because I, in turn, feel like I maybe enabled him by even going over and watching his kids. Even though he was like, dude, I'm not gonna do this. Did I open the door for him to possibly drink, which he did, and in turn was arrested for another DWI and is currently in jail. And it wrecks me, man. And so it's one of those situations you have to take before the Lord. You know what Scripture says about it. If you in turn partake in this wedding, are you condoning it? I believe you are.
Yeah.
You're saying, you know what? I love you and you're my sister. And I, even though this is wrong, you're my sister and I love you. But man, sometimes as a sibling, love stands up and says, hey, this isn't cool and this isn't right. And you're standing in a street. It's a busy intersection and you're going to get hit by a car. And I love you. So I don't want to be mean. Or you could love her and tell her, hey, there's cars coming. You got to get out of the road. And so.
Yeah.
This is just a personal conviction for me, but I just couldn't do it. I would have to talk to them. And of course, in love, you can speak that truth in love and say, look, I love you dearly. It's not that, you know, I don't love you. It's just that I love you so much. I don't want to see you go down a wrong path, and God cannot bless that marriage. God cannot be a part of that marriage. He will not honor that marriage because it goes against his word, and period, the end on that. And
for me,
I just say you couldn't do it.
Yeah, I agree because by doing it, you're giving approval to the couple. You're
right.
saying that you approve of their marriage, you approve of their relationship.
And you're bearing witness.
Yeah, and I'd share with you Romans 1:28-32. It says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death. Not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them.
Yeah.
And so we never want to get to a place where we're approving of those who practice, you know, evil, sin, lawlessness. And that's not just homosexuality. That's any sin.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's why Steve-O used that illustration of his brother. We don't want to get into a place where we're approving of someone who's sinning, someone who's doing something that's wrong. And so, you know, with that situation, by going, if you were to be a part of that wedding, it would show approval of what they're doing.
So, yeah, you think of it this way, another illustration you could use. God is the one judge. You know, people would say, oh, well, you're judging them. No, there's only one judge, and that is God who is on the throne. So let's pretend that you were witness to a murder and you said nothing about it. In a court of law, if you went before the one judge in a court of law and the judge found out, discovered that you were privy to information, that you witnessed something that was unlawful and said nothing and did nothing about it, you would be under the authority of that judge to go to prison because you were basically, by not saying anything, by not doing anything, condoning that murder. Does that make sense? And so
it's
one of those situations where you will stand before God, the one judge, so no one is judging, since that word loves to be thrown out. No one is judging. However, when you do stand before that one judge, God, who is in charge of judging, What's the case going to look like? You know, what's it going to be? Are you going to be that witness that bears the testimony of Jesus Christ? Or is it one of those things where it's like, yeah, but man, by standing there, by taking part in that, you really truly are bearing witness to this wedding. You'd be part of it. Mm-hmm. I just, gosh, man. I would love to ask our audience to lift you up in prayer, because I'm not going to sit here and pretend like that's an easy situation. This is your sister whom you love dearly. And, I know that it's going to be a difficult decision. I also know, however, that we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. So I would pray for wisdom, for peace, for comfort, for the words to be spoken, that, they would be received well and in love. And that you would be able to stand firm in your faith, because it is absolutely, man, it's difficult, but I high five you for asking the right questions and for wanting to know the truth and wanting to do the right thing. So.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys so much. You guys are awesome. So thank you.
Awesome. Thanks, man. Thanks
God
for the
bless,
call.
Man.
All right. Static audience. There you go. Absolutely be lifting him up in prayer, because that's a difficult situation. It sucks. And doing the right thing isn't always easy. It's easy to not have to do the right thing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
505-338-3700 is the phone number. Or of course, if you'd like to keep it anonymous, we do have a few emails. studio@mystaticradio.com. You can send us your email question. We will tackle it.
Yes. We've got another email question we're going to take here. It says, okay. Hey, Steve-O and Nate, I'd like to remain anonymous. So about 4 years ago, my parents got divorced, and about 2 years later, my dad remarried. My mom holds a lot of bitterness over the matter. She feels that my dad is the one who's being blessed and awarded, even though he put her through so much pain in their marriage. She feels that my brother, who recently got married, would have my dad in his life rather than her. For example, my brother and his wife are having people over for the 4th. They're not sure if they should invite my mom or my dad. I told my mom this, and she said that she'll just go back to work early. She works out of Chicago, so that she won't be a burden to anyone.
Wow.
She has had long, tear-filled conversations with me and my other brother about this. She's holding on to so much bitterness. I know this is where Satan wants her, because she's losing communication with my brother, hating my father, and most importantly, gaining distance from God. She's a believer. How do I, or what should I do, that can help her let go of the dead weight she's carrying? It's killing her inside, and she needs freedom from it. Thanks, guys.
Man, harboring any type of bitterness in any form is obviously a very scary, dangerous place to be.
Yeah.
That's a really difficult situation.
How do you help her let go of that?
Right. It's a difficult situation. I have some friends going through this very thing right now who got a divorce. Not believers. Got a divorce, and now one of them is getting remarried. We just got the invitation actually in the mail not too long ago, and looking at it, they have a couple kids.
Wow.
And you know, on the invitation, it's got the husband, the new bride, and then the kids, and it's like a family photo, you know. And just thinking about the difficulties of that and trying to swallow that. But here's what we don't know. We don't know the situation of the marriage.
Yeah.
We don't know how the marriage ended. We don't know, you know, if he was unfaithful, if, you know, if, does it say whether or not they're believers?
That she's a believer.
Okay. You know, to me, in order to give a full, you know, answer.
But even so, the question is, how can you help her get over that? No matter what happened,
that's
how can
true.
You help her get over the bitterness?
Yeah. Would you counsel somebody who's just hung up on something so much so that it's destroying everything in them?
Man, I would say, especially it says she's bitter because she feels like God's blessing him, not her. And so she feels like she's been through a lot of pain. And so realistically, it's a vindictive nature, I think, she's feeling. She probably wants to see him be in pain. She wants to see him be hurt. And so, you know, she's almost got like a David syndrome right now. Like, Lord, kick their teeth in. Lord, make them like stillborn children. You know, it's like the Psalms. When you read the Psalms of David, he has some vindictive Psalms. And so it sounds like she's got one of those spirits right now. And so, what I think I would do is I'd really try to encourage her. Kind of what Job says, look, the rain falls on the just and the unjust. You know, the sun shines on the just and the unjust. Bad things happen to good people, and good things happen to bad people.
Yeah.
There's no reason behind that. It's not like God's like, oh, I'm just really gonna mess with their minds. You know, that's just the world. We live in a sinful, fallen world, and good things happen to good people and bad people, and vice versa. So we need to come to an understanding and grips with that fact, and understand that it's not necessarily because that person is or isn't doing something that good or bad things are happening to them. It's just the world. And you have to trust that God is going to be the ultimate judge, and God is going to be the ultimate vindicator on this situation.
Yeah.
The Lord says, vengeance is mine. And so instead of trying to feel this vindictive nature to get vengeance here on this earth, you need to trust God. Trust that He's going to sort the matter out in the end, that His ways are right, that His ways are true. Trust what it says in the Bible, that His thoughts for you are of good, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope.
Yeah.
You know, if you really trust in the promises of God, it gets a lot easier to take whatever this world gives you. So I really believe that when someone is having a difficult time, whether they have bitterness towards somebody, they're angry, they have lack of faith, you know, it is because they don't really trust God. They don't really believe what the Bible says. Because if we really believed what the Bible said, it would be a lot easier for us to deal with the things that come to us in life.
Yeah, one thing that I've been trying to meditate on recently that's been pseudo-difficult for me, and by pseudo I mean really difficult for me, Romans 12, it's something that I've been studying for a while now. And the idea of, as much as it depends upon you, living at peace with one another. Mm-hmm. So much as it depends upon you. And obviously, if you have that bitterness, and you would rather just kind of, well, whatever, I'll just go back to Chicago early. Man, that root of bitterness. Scary thing is Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, it says, strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without mm-hmm. which no one we'll see the Lord. Verse 15 says, see to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled. Hmm. That root of bitterness is a very, very dangerous thing. If you want to encourage your mother, if you want to speak truth into her, speak to her about the truth of bitterness. Do a word study on the word bitterness and what it does on this anger, this rage, this malice, whatever you want to call it, that is in her life. This bitterness right now obviously is choking her out. It's choking out her relationship with her kids, because she'd rather just go back to work than have to deal with, you know, her son possibly choosing between the two. And it's obviously causing strife. If she is a believer, she does need to go to the Word of God and maybe just do that study on bitterness. And man, defiled is a very gnarly term. That root of bitterness will defile her.
Yeah, you know, again, just really trust in God. Tell her to trust in God in the situation, you know. I would kind of use like a little cliche term. You know, you've always heard, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. Well, I'd take it a little bit deeper and say, if you don't have anything good to think, don't think anything at all. And you say, well, how's that possible? I would say anytime that she has a thought of bitterness or a thought of anger, instead of thinking about her ex-husband, think about the Lord. So anytime you have a thought of, man, he did this, he did that, say, okay, think about who God is, you know, because she needs to really focus on who God is right now, not who her husband was or who her husband is. So anytime she has a thought about who her husband was, tell her to have a thought about who God is and what God can do in her life. And so if she begins to replace those thoughts and feelings of bitterness with thoughts and feelings of faith and hope in Christ, then I believe that bitterness will eventually go away.
We all carry around some form, some sense, and it's something that God is crushing in me right now, some form of entitlement.
Mm.
Man, I deserve a husband who respected me and loved me, and I deserve this, and I deserve what he's getting right now. He doesn't deserve that. I deserve this. And I've been doing this, the study in the book of Judges, and one dude who had this like super sense of entitlement, Samson, was one of those men who from birth was like called by God to do all these great things. But unfortunately, he had this crazy sense of entitlement where it's like, I can do no wrong, and no matter what, God will always like hook me up and have my back, and I'm just going to do this. And he was so prideful. He was arrogant. He had anger issues.
Yeah.
And it destroyed him. I mean, it destroyed him so much because he had this sense of entitlement that he deserved. Man, I deserve this woman. Yeah, but she's a Philistine. You should totally take a step back. Delilah was the third of such women. The third, not the first, not the second. He just kept going back to that same sin. Like, yeah, but you don't understand. I deserve this. And that entitlement And maybe that's one of those things where right now you're she's dealing with this sense of entitlement. Like, yeah, but you don't understand. This is what I deserve.
You know, I'm so glad I don't get what I deserve.
Right.
Because I deserve to burn in hell for eternity.
Amen.
That's what we deserve.
We deserve.
So if you
want to
go on this entitlement thing, you deserve to die. Like, that's what you deserve. So you know, don't get
now.
On,
don't go to your mom and say, don't go to your mom and say, "Look, mom, you deserve death. You need to get out of your slump." But at the same time, yes,
yeah,
what you're speaking
it,
there's and that's what I had to write that down a couple weeks ago. And my thing as I was going through this entitlement, and that was it. What do I deserve? And that was the very first thing I wrote down. I deserve death.
Yeah.
The wages of sin is death, man. We are all sinners. We have all fallen short of that glory of God. And, there's this thing, maybe it's this U.S. culture in us. We have this entitlement. I think all of us have this sense of entitlement that, yeah, but I deserve this. I deserve this. I deserve employees who respect me.
Yeah.
I deserve a job. I deserve to get paid this much. I deserve,
man, and talk about vindication. I hear Christians all the time say to a non-believer, don't worry. They'll get what they deserve someday.
Oh, man.
Like basically you're saying they're going to go to hell one day. So take solace in that fact. That's not good.
Yeah, no.
You know,
I
pray they don't get what they deserve. I pray they come to repentance.
Amen.
But you know, I think just rest and trust in the sovereignty of God in the situation.
Absolutely. You put it back to God. I think of, again, Samson doing this study. He went out, he slew 1,000 dudes with the jawbone of a donkey.
I've done that.
Yeah. And then right after the victory, where it says that the Lord gave him the strength for this, he says, "I have done these things," because he was so prideful and arrogant. And then he realized how thirsty he was and cried out to God. And God immediately restored him, split open this rock and gave him water to drink, because that's how great God is. Maybe remind your mom of how great God is and the fact that she just needs to turn back to him, to cry out to him. She obviously sounds broken, which is a good place to be in the kingdom of God, because that's all he requires is that broken and contrite heart. Maybe in this brokenness, she can remove the bitterness in her and just turn to him and he can do those amazing things. I don't know.
I
we got to take a quick break. 505-338-3700 is the phone number. We have one phone line open still. We will take the next phone call right after the break. We also have a couple email questions to get to. If you would like to get your question in anonymously, studio@mystaticradio.com. Steve-O, Pastor Nate Heitzig, Shock Therapy Live.
The School of Ministry is now accepting applications for the 2013-2014 school year. If you are interested, you have 3 opportunities to join us to hear more information about the school. You can join us on Tuesday, May 28th, Tuesday, June 18th, or Tuesday, July 15th for a School of Ministry Information Night at 6 p.m. in the Hub on the campus of Calvary of Albuquerque. Director of the School of Ministry, Dr. Nelson Walker, will be there to answer any questions. No reservations needed. For more information, please call 505-344-4418. Again, that number, 505-344-4418.
This is The Wire.
Hey, this is Nico and Caleb. We're the Static Interns, and we're here to tell you about an upcoming event.
Calling all knights and maidens. Grab your armor and prepare for fun at the Kingdom Chronicles Vacation Bible School at Desert Springs Church.
Oh, is it my turn now? Parents, sign up your kiddos.
Sign up your kiddos for 5 days of fun at VBS, July the 15th through the 19th, from 6 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. Okay, you are permitted to speak now.
Oh, thanks. You can get them registered online at Desert Springs.
I'm still talking! Register online at DesertSpringsChurch.org. That's DesertSpringsChurch.org. You may speak now, Nico. Fine, be that way.
Do you have a free event going on? Submit your event details for The Wire at MyStaticRadio.com.
Shock Therapy Live. What do you want to talk about? Comment now on Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio or call 505-338-3700. Now, more Shock Therapy Live.
Ah, yes.
Yes.
Welcome back.
Hi.
Shock Therapy Live.
Hi, how are you doing?
Steve-O, Pastor Nate Heitzig. I'm fantastic. How are you doing?
Good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
We got an interesting question. I figure we can get through this one pretty quickly. We got this and I said, we should totally answer this on Shock Therapy Live.
Oh, is this
it
one
came
I'm
to the studio?
On?
Yes.
Hmm.
If you would like to answer the question.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
What is an individual? It would be very beneficial, I think is what she meant to say.
Yeah.
It would be very beneficial if any individual can reply to that question. I'm stuck with this issue for very last week. and I'm not in a position to find House's answer for that concern. Any response will be hugely appreciated. Thank you quite considerably and have a fantastic day. Apologies for my weak English language. Cheers.
Yeah. What is an individual?
I'm so confused. Oh, my head hurts.
You don't talk about existentialism? Like,
maybe she didn't mean to say individual. Maybe that's part of the problem. Maybe she meant to say something else.
Right. Weak English. What is an individual? What is a person?
What is
a being?
Maybe she meant to say, like, what is individual choice? Or
what is individualism?
What is Indiana Jones?
Indiana Jones is a fantastic series of movies. They also made a TV show out of it. And books.
I really don't even know how to answer that question.
I kind of just threw that in there because I really wanted to see how you would respond.
I'm so confused.
What is an individual? I believe that was a question that was asked on Jeopardy, and she was giving us the answer.
Okay.
She was watching Jeopardy, and Alex Trebek said, "This is a human being." And she said, "What is an individual?"
Yeah. Okay, do this. Touch your face, squeeze your cheeks, put your fingers on your nose, touch.
I don't
know
if this is like, maybe this is one of those deep matrixy questions where it's like, you know, on different planes of existence this is.
I don't know. I'm just, my head hurts.
Moving on.
Question.
Yeah. Static, hello.
Hello, this is Dave. How are you?
Hey, fantastic. How are you?
How are you?
Hey, good, thanks, good. Hey, just a quick question for you guys. I disagreed with what you said previously about the gentleman that called in that has his sister's gay, and she's having a wedding.
Okay.
And just to get your idea on this, and by the way, I appreciate the fact that your show does not have call screeners. Apparently, I drive trucks, and I listen to a lot of different opinions, and you're the only show that I've called into that didn't want to get my opinion first.
Oh, okay.
So just a quick thing, and just tell me what you think. But Jesus hung out all the time, in fact, the majority of his time, with people who lived lifestyles that he didn't agree with. Yeah. He hung out with prostitutes, with thieves, with murderers. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. And so if we took your logic to where this gentleman couldn't go to his gay sister's wedding because it'd be supporting her lifestyle, then I would say that it's against the example of Jesus. Because the difference, it seems to me, is that by hanging out, by spending time with people who live a lifestyle that is different or that you don't believe in, you're showing acceptance for them, not necessarily for the lifestyle. You know, by Jesus hanging out with prostitutes, thieves, and murderers, he wasn't saying that he agreed with prostitution, thievery, and murder. He was saying that there's redemption and love for them anyway. I would say that if for him to be supporting gay marriage, it has to be more than just showing up. Like, he would have to be officiating the ceremony or setting it up. But the only other thing I have to say is that the difference between the examples that you showed, you had one of you gentlemen had a biblical verse which, frankly, I considered frightening, you know, saying that people that sin essentially should be killed. And the other gentleman was mentioning, compared it to murder. And the difference that I would say is that murder, thievery, these are things, I agree with them as being sins, but they also take away the rights of others. They directly impact the rights of others. Whether you believe that sexual orientation, homosexuality is a normal state or not, they're simply by being homosexual, male or female, they're affecting themselves. So if it's a sin, they're hurting themselves, not anyone else. So it would just be very difficult
now
to say, I support you and I love you, but yeah, it doesn't come across.
Well, now let me tell you this, because you're taking bits and pieces of the conversation and of the question and using the parts that you'd like to use. First of all, we said this gentleman who called in, he actually lives with his sister. He said he spends a lot of time with his sister. He says he continues to have a great relationship with his sister.
Right.
We encouraged him in that. We said that's good. We said we always want to love the sinner, not hate the sin. So we by no means said that he shouldn't spend time with her. Jesus spent time.
I think that's the point Pastor Nate's trying to make here, because as you talk, I agree with everything you're saying in the sense that he hung out with sinners, tax collectors, prostitutes, but what he did not do was take part in their quote unquote ceremonies.
Yeah.
Jesus hung out with sinners and tax collectors, but you wouldn't find him in like a brothel hanging out.
Correct.
Or like in a hostel, not a hostel, basically a brothel. You don't find Jesus in a brothel like, hey, I am here. I'm here to hang out. I'm not sleeping with any of you, but I want to hang out in your environment. You don't see that. They came to him. They all came to Jesus, and he didn't turn anyone away from him. But when
Correct.
You find him out and about, whether it was in his teachings, you see the times where people come before Jesus. He hung up. Okay. That's okay.
That's okay.
But to finish the thought is, yeah, absolutely. And the funny thing is, we started off with this conversation saying, dude, I have friends who are homosexual.
Yeah.
I have friends who are, I don't say, I can never, ever, ever speak to you ever again because you're gay. That's not it in any way, shape, or form, and that's not what we're saying. Jesus absolutely hung out with sinners.
Yeah.
The church is, as he said, is not a place, you know, just like a hospital is not for the well, it's for the sick. So, like, dude, he's for the sick and for the dying.
And again, when we read Romans 1, what we did, 28 to 32, the sins that it talks about aren't just sins that hurt other people. I mean, it starts over, it says, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, not those things which harm others. And he says, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God. The key here, they're haters of God. The key issue, the person being wronged here isn't a human being, it's God. Violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that these things who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Now, I want to point something out. There is nothing, no person in this world who has not committed one of those sins on that list.
Absolutely.
Do you know anyone who's never lied? Anyone who's never been deceitful? Anyone who's never been proud? Anyone who has never been unloving, or anybody who's never disobeyed their parents? I don't know about you, but I can find myself on that list in numerous spots. What Paul is saying here in Romans is that we are all deserving of death. Every one of us. Every one of us is deserving of a punishment, and that punishment is death. Sin brings death. And so we're all deserving of that punishment. So what Paul is saying is, look, I want you guys to understand, we're all deserving of death. It's by the mercies of God that we're not consumed. It's because of the love of Jesus Christ that we even stand a chance to not be judged. So it's because of that love that we can find mercy and that we can find grace. But he's saying, you who call yourself believers,
right,
you who call yourself Christians, don't support people who are sinning. And so that's the difference between loving this couple, saying, look, I love you guys, you know, if you ever need to talk, I'm here for you, and then going to a wedding, which again, a wedding is a celebration of a relationship. So for him to go to this wedding, he was saying, I am celebrating the fact that you two are lesbians, is in essence what he's saying. And so that's where we say we would draw the line. You know, again, Jesus, when he saw the woman at the well, that's where he saw her. He didn't see her like in the bedroom with a guy and he's sitting in the corner watching. He's like, hey, oh, it's okay. No, keep going. Don't worry about it. I'll just sit here in the corner so you guys are done. No, he wasn't there supporting the act that she was doing, but he was there and he loved her just the same.
It brings about an interesting topic. This last weekend, I was at Astro Zombies, picking up stuff, and, you know, right across the street, we have Calvary Knob Hill at the Lobo Theater. And as I went down there, I had zero idea what I was about to come up against. But I took Jack and Luke, and we were down there, and it turned into a pretty big conversation because little did I know it was the gay pride parade.
Hmm.
It was going on. Did Jesus hang out with these people? Absolutely. Do you think we would have seen Jesus walking down the middle of the gay pride parade saying, hey, I'm hanging out, not necessarily in support, I'm
Love
just hanging
everyone.
Out with these people? I do not believe so. Now, as I was looking, I'm standing across the street, catty corner to Calvary Knob Hill at the Lobo Theater, wondering, okay, we didn't have anything going on. It was during the gay pride parade. Is it a situation where maybe as a church, do you have cookies and stuff hanging out there? Or would that be considered condoning it? Do you know what I mean? Or are we just offering up water for those walking by as a kind gesture? You know, we didn't do that.
Yeah.
And my mind, it became a pretty big conversation later that day of, okay, so by being there, being a part of it, are you then in turn condoning it? I just happened to be walking by and saw a bunch of people without clothes on and a lot of, you know, rainbow wings on, not even being funny.
Because that's natural.
That's seriously what I, you know, what was going on. And, you know, it was interesting because there were some pretty vulgar things I saw as people were just, you know, wanting to celebrate their freedom. Things that I can't fathom being acceptable any other time, you know.
In history, really.
Right. And so to say, you know, yes, Jesus did. Absolutely. Are we called? Yeah, absolutely. In 1 Corinthians, Paul talks about not eating with the sexually immoral. And he goes on to say not at all, meaning the people of the world, because then you'd have to leave earth.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about those who consider themselves brothers. And it talks about not eating with those who are brothers in that. Yeah. You're not even supposed to like hang out with those guys. However, Jesus did hang out with the sinners. He did not condone. It's the difference between a gay accepting church and a gay affirming church. If somebody came down here to Calvary Albuquerque and was like, hey, I'm gay, I'd really like to check this church out, I'm pretty sure they wouldn't be booted out when they walked in. However, it wouldn't be a situation where we're like, yes, but we're affirming. We just condone and love your lifestyle. It's not something like that. In fact, we have different ministries here. Pastor Eric Lamb, part of some great ministries on Tuesday nights here at Calvary Albuquerque that specifically speaks to those issues, whether it's men struggling with lust, somebody dealing with a homosexual lifestyle, whatever it is. They have different ministries here to help people through them. Are they hanging out with them? Absolutely. Are they praying for them? Are they hoping that God can, man, just impact their life in a way that makes them desire a change in their life? Yes. Because as we grow, we want to see that change. We don't high five what's going on. We just can't. We just don't. But it doesn't mean we're hateful. It doesn't mean that we don't love that person. But to take part in a ceremony like that, absolutely. I mean, again... There's a difference between hanging out with somebody and bearing witness and he was asked to be in the ceremony.
You know, it's really funny when we get a call and a question like that. They call and they start out by saying, oh, thank you so much for listening to my opinion and thank you so much for taking my phone call. But then when it comes down to it, they don't want
to
hear the
truth. I wanted
to
finish the conversation.
Yeah, no, they don't, but he doesn't want to hear the truth. You know, all he wants to do is hear what he agrees with and share what he agrees with. But when it comes time for a rebuttal, and an answer to that, he doesn't want that.
Right.
And so it's an interesting, it's an interesting parallel there. And again, we do want to hear from everybody.
Absolutely.
We've taken phone calls from homosexuals, from lesbians. We've taken phone calls from people living in fornication, living in adultery. We've taken phone calls from people who are addicted to drugs. And we want to hear you guys because this show is about you and what you guys are going through. I just would ask that, you know, you give us the same respect that we'd love to give a chance to give you guys an answer.
Yeah. Speaking of that, we had a question a couple weeks ago about masturbation. It was a married person who said, look, my wife's not, and the way these were his words, he wasn't getting any, from his wife. And the way that it was written was just kind of crude. And so we had a question about masturbation. He wanted to make sure that, you know, he wanted to be able to get off and asked us about it. And we answered it. And we had a response from a female who did not like our answer about masturbation.
Yeah.
And we wanted to share that opinion on the air, speaking of. So
yes. So it says, I just wanted to express how disappointed I am with how you handled the masturbation question. I feel that you two proceeded to judge and condemn this poor guy as a pervert before taking the biblical approach. There are many men, women, and adolescents out there who struggle with this very subject, and you really made it seem like a horrible thing. I'm not condoning the fact, but feel that there is a much better way than how you handled it. Sex is like food to most men, especially new to Christ men who have not gotten control of their desires yet. Those who are deprived in a marriage don't need to feel worse, but looking for help coping. You made me feel ashamed for doing nothing, and I fear that some poor teenager or young man was turned from God by the way you made this poor guy's question sound. Yes, the Bible calls masturbation self-gratification and should be controlled, but for those not as strong as you two, there are better answers to a question that may not have been worded so eloquently. Perhaps next time you should be a little better prepared if you're going to tackle such a delicate subject.
That's, you know, the part that I apologize that I giggled, but the idea that we're so strong, you know, that we gave the answer that we did. We're men. And if anything, it's an issue that's not talked about nearly enough that we've talked about on the show a few times. The topic of masturbation, the topic of lust, the topic of getting that under control. And maybe the reason that, men, man to man are, what's the word? Hard on this issue. Hard on somebody else for doing this, for being a part of it, is because we can completely relate. And I don't want to tear down this female who sent in this comment about, you know, the way we responded, but as men, it's an issue that has touched every single dude in the universe, at some point in their life. Every man's battle is a ministry here at Calvary that they do for this very reason, because it's such a damaging, man, horrible thing that can take over someone's life, that if they don't get it under control,
it can
destroy them.
And again, I want to read the actual original question that we got from this gentleman, and you tell me how it sounds. Is it wrong to masturbate to my wife if I'm not getting any from her, or if I just feel like doing it to her? That was the way the question was worded.
Yeah.
So the way the question was worded sounded very dirty.
Yeah.
And again, we're talking about a married man who, again, is doing this behind his wife's back. His wife probably doesn't know about it. You know, he feels entitled to whatever's going on in this relationship. And so, you know, we answered this, in the way that, really in the way that I feel like Paul would have answered it. You know, like, really? Like,
yeah.
Really? It was kind of one of those questions. And so, yeah.
Well, I just look at the issue of masturbation in and of itself, and as we do the show and as we talk about the things that we get, one thing that keeps coming up, it seems like a theme, is when we discuss certain issues, especially when it comes to the topic of sexual immorality, whether it's masturbation, whether it's homosexuality, whether it's fornication, whether it's adultery, whatever it is, the word that seems to come up is judged.
Yeah.
Man, you guys sound like you're judging. And that's a sad, sad statement today, because it seems like that word has become so overused in Christian culture and in culture in general that you can't have a conversation without somebody saying, man, you know what you're doing? You're judging that person. And the funny thing is, in the book of Corinthians, as Paul was talking about, you know, hey, with such a brother who's caught up in sexual immorality, don't even eat. Not at all meaning the people of the world, because then you'd have to leave Earth, but he's talking about someone who considers himself a brother, who's caught up in these sexual immoral sins. With such a brother, don't even eat, because it talks about judging. He says, I'm writing to you not to associate anyone who bears the name of brother if he's guilty of sexual immorality or greed or is an idolater or a reviler or a drunkard or a swindler, not to even eat with such one, for what do I have to do with judging outsiders? Is it not those inside the church whom you are to judge? Now, that word judge is different. We're not saying they're eternal security type thing. God is that judge, that one judge. However, when someone is caught up in a sin that is so heinous that it can potentially destroy someone's life, we as Christians are called to go, hey, bro, I love you. I don't want your life to fall apart.
Yeah. And this is the thing, the message of Christ came to judge sin. But the beautiful part is he judged it upon himself.
Yeah.
When Jesus Christ died on that cross, he took the sin of the world, he put it upon himself, and he said, I'm going to judge this sin upon myself. Sin is deserving of death, so I'm going to die for sin.
Yeah.
Now, we can either choose to accept that sacrifice, or we can reject it, and we can deal with the consequences for our own sin. So each one of us has got to come to that place where we decide, am I going to let the grace and the mercy of Christ judge and cover my sin, or am I going to take my sin upon myself? Am I going to let my sin be something that I have to answer for and stand before God? And, you know, either way, sin will be judged.
Yeah.
And so we need to understand that and just decide if we want it judged before by Christ or in the future by Christ.
Yeah. The good news is, though, for everyone who is listening who says, man, I feel condemned. I am caught up in something. I don't know how to break away. I don't know what to do. There are different ministries throughout that can help in that. And the cool thing is, throughout God's word, this God of grace appears and says, hey, I love you so much. And no matter what you're caught up in, it's not too great for God to tackle. I mentioned I was doing this study in Judges, and one thing that, like, just popped out to me that I'd never noticed before. Samson over and over and over kept going back to the same filth, the same thing over and over. And to a point where after his hair is cut, he says, I'm going to go out as at other times and shake myself free. I got this. He never thought his disobedience would cost him. He never assumed that he would have to pay a penalty for that. And he did. And his hair was shaved and his eyes were gouged out, and it was this horrible thing. But verse 22 of Judges 16 says, but the hair of his head began to grow again immediately after it had been shaved, and God's grace appeared through his hair growing immediately. God's grace is there. All you have to do is turn to him. He loves you. He cares for you. He desires a right relationship with you. But you got to make that change in your life. You got to turn toward him.
Yep.
His grace is sufficient. And as you look at the story of the prodigal son, when that prodigal son, when he was done doing all of the idiocies of his life and he was broke and he was freaking sleeping in crap, literally, decided to come home to his dad. His dad didn't scold him and tear him down. His dad grabbed him and threw his arms around him and had a party because he was stoked that his son had returned. So you need to turn around. You need to walk away from whatever sin it is you're caught up in. And I promise you, God's going to throw a party.
Yeah.
He's going to wrap his arms around you and throw a freaking party.
Yeah, you know, I would use the verse that I hear, you know, a lot of people who live in sin use to justify themselves. Well, God loves me. How could God hate me? Well, John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Now, here's the clincher, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, belief is more than just intellectually accepting something to be true. Right. The Bible says even the demons believe and tremble. Belief is something that should change the way that you live. Jesus himself said, a tree that does not bear forth fruit is dead, and I will cut it down and I will throw it into the fires. And so we've got to keep in mind that Jesus does love you.
Yeah,
Jesus longs for a relationship with you. Whether you're homosexual, whether you're stuck in adultery, stuck in fornication, whether you're a liar, you're a murderer, Jesus Christ loves you. And he doesn't want you to perish. But the only way that you can avoid that inevitable outcome is to believe on the name of Jesus Christ, and not just intellectually accept the name of Jesus Christ, but believe in what he said, believe in his teachings, believe in the fact that he said there is no way to get to the Father but through him. And unless you believe that, then there is no remission of sins.
So. There you go. That is it for us. Shock Therapy Live coming to a close. If you missed any part of the show, you can podcast it. MyStaticRadio.com/ShockTherapyLive. All of our shows are up there. We've tackled many a thing on this year's show. Thanks to everybody for calling in today. Thanks for all of the emails. And, of course, we'll see you guys again next Wednesday, 9 a.m. You can catch the re-airing of this show Sunday night, 7 p.m., part of Static U right here on Static Radio. Pastor Nate, you ready to get... We can go prepare for our party this evening.
Yes.
Fireworks.
Yes.
Christ Safari. Your pop's throwing down a great message.
It's going to be fun.
That's going to be amazing. We'll see you all the details. MyStaticRadio.com. We'll see you guys again next week.
Peace.
Later.
Comments made do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Real Doctors, Moms, Calvary of Albuquerque, any political party, Puppies, Static Radio, or, well, just about anybody else except for the moron who made us use the delay.